I pooped so much yesterday.
So, I...
That's it. That's the intro.
No, listen. Listen. So I, you know, first I had to go. So I go, and it's a lot, right? It's so much, I text my freshman, my best friend Dave, and said, "Lol, pooped so much." He said, "Lol." And I went back to my computer. 10 minutes later, I had to go again. And I was like, "What the hell is this?" So I text him like, "Lol, have to poop again?" Question mark. Just as much as last time. It was still, and I'm talking, it wasn't gross, real solid logs. But it was just so much. And then I was like, wow, it felt, you know, so good. And I was like, man, why do I have to go so much? I don't know. And that was it. But man, I couldn't, like, a 30-minute period, it was a ton. Grow up, edge guy. To the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 30th, 2019. AJ, still not recovered.
I'm just saying, after an hour of recording our Disney podcast where we can't curse or anything, you just went right to poop.
Oh, man, it was noteworthy. It had to be told.
I guess so.
By the way, that Disney, so we recorded our fourth episode of our 90s Disney podcast.
Yes.
On The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It'll be out on September 1st. Fan, it was so great.
A good time was had by all.
AJ, you actually got an interview with the writer of the movie.
I did.
Tad Murphy. Fantastic interview, and it plays in the middle of the episode.
Towards really, the front half, so yeah.
Yeah, really cool insights there. Man, good stuff.
Good times.
Having a lot of fun with that show.
Yes.
But we can't neglect the OG.
That's right. And what better way to do the show by talking about World of Warcraft?
Well, we could just talk about my poop some more.
Well,
okay.
I don't know, audience, you tell me.
Okay, okay. So, World of Warcraft Classic came out. I am having much
so much fun.
Like, I was excited. I'm having way more fun than I thought.
Why is it so fun? It's so fun.
It's making me rethink a lot of things about regular World of Warcraft.
It really is.
I'm like, oh man, they clearly went too far with, like, things that I thought I liked.
Yeah.
Like level scaling.
So, okay, so here's the thing. And we're like, let's just get right into it. So, over time, and as has been pointed out by some people, you know, a lot of the changes are things we asked for.
Yeah.
You know, they put flying in Outland. Well, what the hell? We want to fly in Stormwind. You know, you get to calculate, all right, fine, you can fly in Stormwind now. You know, get into dungeons is hard. I just want to go there. All right, fine. Looking for group. You just go to the dungeon. You don't have to go to it. We'll just teleport you in and teleport you back when you're done.
I want to play at my friends on the other server.
Fine. Cross realm. It's a thing now. It's all in the cloud anyway.
Turns out, all mistakes.
Terrible mistakes. So, I do think there is an ideal version of World of Warcraft that lies in the middle.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're...
You know, I mean, cross-realm, I struggle with. It is nice to, like, you know, you make a friend or you have a friend. It's like, oh, you play Warcraft. And it's like, oh, I'm on a different server. Ugh. Like, you know, what are you going to do? Re-level some of the 60 over the course of 2 months to play with your friend?
What? I've missed just how much leveling was the game.
Yes. And I've talked about this before as an academic point, and I've proved it to myself. World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth, which is we'll call the core game BFA, is a theme park. It's go to these places, see these things, you're the hero, rah, rah, rah. This game is like a national park. See the sights, dabble in a bunch of things, help some people out, have some adventures. Make of it what you will.
I love so much just feeling like a quote-unquote adventurer again.
Right.
Like the general of the army or the quote-unquote champion/hero. Like,
mm-hmm.
And like, I'm constantly talking to like three racial leaders at a time, making I'm just like, here's Biffle Buffle Foof and he wants me to kill 12 boars. I'm like kind of into it.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm a coin-seeking adventurer. Yeah, let's do it.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, I'm this huge important figure. Great. We need some intestines.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Go get them yourself, asshole.
People are constantly talking to you. It's like you walk somewhere and there's like a pirate like saying things. And it's like, this is just like, there aren't as many quests. There aren't really quest chains.
No, it's a lot. There's, and it's, you know, just grinding out mobs is a legitimate thing.
Each level feels so important.
Well, even so that's
early levels.
I thought I liked the new talent system.
I thought I did too.
I thought, yes. I was like, this is obviously better. It's more meaningful. But then, like, you know, when you go back and you're like, okay, let's make a new character. When you only get to do that every 15 levels, it doesn't feel that great. I mean, it's great when you get it.
Well, in BFA, one of the biggest problems with that whole experience was leveling to 100 to 110.
Felt no different. By the end, I felt no
different.
You didn't
gain any new experience, any new abilities. Yeah, you actually lost some because of, like, some weird artifacts from the last game.
Because of level scaling, I felt no more or less powerful.
You did not feel any more powerful at all.
Yeah. But, like, you know, this game, you know, going from level 12 to 13 feels big. All you get, and that's a level where you don't even get new skills.
Right, but it's like, I need a talent point that got, and I can equip this item that I had in my bank.
But
and
even like, so I'm playing a mage. So right now, I have 3 ranks of Frostbolt, and I am shocked at how often I use all 3.
Right.
Because I've got to the point where I know how much mana and the minimum damage each rank will do, and I'm like staring at health bars like, oh, this thing is 20 HP. I could finish it off with a rank 1 Frostbolt. It'll cast faster, and I use less mana, which is pretty precious. And then you level up, and it's like, oh, my mana pool went up by 50. That's another spell cast. That's a big deal.
DPSing, leveling as a priest, and I'm a priest, so much of it, it's not like a rotation. It's so much of it is being smart and learning. At what point you have to stop casting spells and just use your wand so that by the time you kill a person, your mana is basically back so you have no downtime.
Yeah.
And it's, like, actually really interesting and fun to kind of master that.
So I'm shocked, like, you know, again, soloing, like, pulling 2 mobs is dangerous.
Yeah.
So here's me, like, okay, I gotta kill, there's 3 kobolds by this fire, and I need to take them out. Well, this one is, the way he patrols, if I hit him at just the right time, he'll be far enough away that the other 2 won't aggro. So let me peel him off first. Okay, got him down. I'm going to polymorph the one. This guy's going to come running at me. I'm fighting him. Oh, he, like, resisted 2 of my spells. It was taking longer. Now the other one's here. I'm going to Frost Nova to freeze him in place, get some distance, kill the one, start working the other. Like, I'm thinking.
You're making decisions.
I'm reacting.
And because a normal mob is so difficult, like, it's actually, like, a common thing where people tell you, fight mobs that are like a level or 2 below you, it's easier. And it, like, a lot of times you'll actually, like, be in a cave or something with mobs and you're doing a quest and you'll actually just, like, group up with whoever you see.
Yeah, just, and like, you'll need, yeah, let's go.
And like, so, like, I have a buff I can put on people that increases their stamina. If I see somebody walk by without the buff, I'll put it on them. They will be like, Thank you.
Yeah.
And they'll, like, give meaningful. Me a buff. When, like, a druid gives me Mark of the Wild.
Oh, Mark of the Wild's the best.
It gives you, it
just gives everything better.
And I'm like, thank you.
Yes, this is incredible.
You are my...
This is the best 30 minutes
of
my life.
I had a warlock open the trade chat and give me a hearthstone. It was the most wholesome thing ever.
Oh, that's great.
I'm like, this is actually really useful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So much. And it's like, because it's difficult, you actually have to depend on strangers / friends, so there's actual social interaction.
But again, now that we're back to mob tagging, you know, in BFA, you just pile on to stuff, and you're like, you know, you're last hitting something.
And, correct. And everything's hard. It's like, in BFA, it's almost like, if you're not pulling 3 mobs at a time, you're wasting your time.
Well, that too. But like this one, like, you know, if I accidentally pull 3 things, I'm about to die, and there's another person there. If he helps me, he gets nothing out of the... He puts himself at risk as well.
Fun.
But maybe he does, and I really appreciate
especially
that.
As a priest, I kind of like sometimes seeing a person in trouble and be like, I'm going to heal you and help you. And they always are like, thank you.
I'll see someone who's like training 3 mobs. I'll run up next to him, start running with them, and drop my Frost Nova to plant them. And I'm like, oh, come on, man, let's run. We ain't fighting them. Let's get out of here.
But yeah, I'm just like, in like professions like are actually useful. Mm-hmm.
Again, so we are both tailors and enchanters.
Well, we're both cloth users.
Yeah,
so.
But you know, you hit that point where it's like, oh, I could craft bags.
Oh, like the crafting material in the is actually useful.
Yeah, but like, so I was doing in Elwynn Forest, the starting area for humans, that there's a quest where you're like killing bandits in a farm, and one of them like dropped a brown bag, and it's like oh my god, you don't get these for a while. It's so like I had 5 or 6 extra inventory slots. It's like, this is incredible. But then, you know, you get that crafting up, like, oh my god, I just craft bags. And you're just like because like inventory is such a constraint because I have in my bag that's not going anywhere. I'm conjuring food and drink because you need food and drink. So I got that. I got food I've cooked because it gives you a stamina buff. So I have that. I have my panda collar because I still got my collector's edition pet, which is pretty sweet. But right. That collar doesn't go away. You don't like learn it as a spell. It stays in your inventory. I've got my copper rod for enchanting. I've got Hearthstone, flint and tinder for cooking fires. Like,
I don't need to cook. I can heal.
Oh, you got to cook. You need that stamina buff.
I have power of word fortitude. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm not keeping that.
I figure I may as well. I haven't done any fishing yet. I should do that. But like I said, like half my inventory is like just non-negotiable.
Right.
So getting those bags, that's a power spike.
I love that just farming mobs is actually viable for both leveling and gathering the mats for crafting.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, you know, I've talked about it before. I kind of like farming things. So I like that. Like that's what you do sometimes because there actually aren't that many quests. Like sometimes you really just do need to go out there and just beat up on some kobolds.
Come meet me at Dark Shore. There's a lot of quests there. That's a good hub.
But I just, man, I was excited for this. I thought I would enjoy it. I'm like shocked how much
I have no desire to play BFA.
I really don't. I thought like, well, I'll go back and like, I'll do my weekly mythic. I don't think I'm going to play BFA until like maybe
8.25.
Yeah, at least that. Because I'm like not even all that interested in finishing the raid I was
working on. Yeah, I haven't done the LFR wings either.
It's like, I've like gone, I did most of it on normal. I did like half of it on heroic, a little bit more than that. And I'm like, whatever. But my gear's good enough that when the next patch comes out, I can start doing it. That's fine. And I'm like, I just want to play classic. It's so much, like I want to get to that next level.
It's shocking how fresh it feels.
It really, yeah.
It feels here. You're in, by the way.
That's the one thing our queues have been long.
Let's talk about that. So we were playing. Our friend Dave was a pretty hardcore raiding guild back in the day, and most of them got back together and said, "Yeah, let's all play classes together." And we just kind of fell in with them. So we're on their server. Obviously, they went PvP, which is fine. I'm actually kind of like for me that could actually be a fun end game. I think
it turns out that. I think most people think that PvP is the way to go for OG.
Right. And turns out, like, a mage is a really good PvP spec or class or whatever, so I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, these guys, very concerned about server populations, picked a higher population realm at first, you know, like when the reservation started. We were on an even higher one, it turned out. But ours is one of the servers that, like, you know, you just were in a queue for, what, 2 hours? Which isn't too bad, actually, given where it's been. It took me yesterday. I got home from work at 5:30. I put myself in the queue, and I was playing at 10:30. So, depending on the server you're on, it's still crowded. They have the phasing tech. It's so interesting, Mike, because like they could make multiple phases. It sounds like to kind of alleviate this, but there's like a lot of people in the community who are like, no. No, we don't want these phases. Like, they'd rather not be able to play than have phases exist. They're all concerned, like, well, are the phases still going to go away at launch phase two? Like, we got to get rid of these. Not phases. I'm calling them phases. They're layers. Layers.
Right, layers. Yeah, layers. It's the same kind of thing.
Phases. Well, it is and isn't. Layers. Phases are what's in the current game. Layers are much more distinct. It's almost like an A and a B version of the server.
Right.
You can still chat, but you will never see that person.
So I just logged in and some of my friends just sent me some items they crafted and they're very useful. And it's like so touching.
Why did am I getting anything?
I don't know. You haven't logged in yet. Maybe it was Dave and somebody else. Like Dave sent me some bracers I can use when I'm level 18.
I need bracers. Actually, yeah, I have grays I'm using for my bracers. Like, hey, I can. Well, you can enchant
them. Someone from the guild, I'm not even sure who it is, gave me an offhand thing that looks great.
Did you train up a one-handed weapon?
Dwarves do. They start with that. Oh, I had to go to Stormwind to learn staves.
Interesting.
But like even that stuff, like you said, that was annoying. It was like I have to take the deeper end, the tram, to go to Stormwind. I'm like, I kind of like that. It's funny. The world is smaller than it is in BFA. It feels so much bigger. It isn't,
because think about it. So you start playing Battle for Azeroth, and Battle for Azeroth is kind of an exception. It was 6 zones, which is actually pretty good for an expansion.
Right.
Usually, like you know, you go back to Legion, that was what 4. This is How many zones are in vanilla? Like 20?
Yes.
It's a big game world, you know?
Right. And like, you don't even, sometimes you may not even go to all those. And what I love is like, it's not like for a while, you kind of go zone by zone. Here, like, you'll go to a zone, maybe you'll leave it and then go back to it at some point, even. And it's like, it's not like each zone has this, like, self-contained story or narrative.
Yeah, so there's just things to do there.
Right. And it, again, it makes it all feel kind of bigger in a way.
Now, it's kind of weird because, like I said, it's kind of feels like a new experience, but it's a very well-documented experience.
That's,
you know?
That's the funny thing.
Like, there are no surprises.
It's amazing how much better I am at this now.
Well, there's that. There's
than
that.
In 2004.
Like you're using the Q and E keys for abilities.
Yeah. I've really leveled up.
Yeah. So there's that aspect of it. I mean, like I said, two things that I probably did very wrong back in the day. I bought every spell, even the ones I wasn't using. Like on my mage, I haven't bought any fire spells except for the first one because that's all you had at the beginning. But I'm like, I said, I'm actually using the different levels of spell. I'm not just using the fastest one and kind of burning mana faster than I should because I'm just using the highest rank I have. So I'm playing the game with a much more nuance, if you will.
Yes.
So there's that aspect of it. And there is just a very nice nostalgia pang. I mean, we've been playing this game since the beta, before the launch in 2004. And it's kind of like it's the boiling frog, you know, like the changes in some ways were so gradual over time that like you forget what was and wasn't in vanilla. Like,
yes.
Like I was in the guild, I was like, guys, were guild banks in the game? Do we have guild banks? And I never got an answer. I don't think I was quite sure, actually. So it's like, oh, I don't know if we have that or not. I guess we'll find out. You know, like we said, there's some of the more sweeping changes like the talent system and flying, obviously. But there's just something about the pace of this game that I find it's very enjoyable.
It's funny because, like, even when I was, like, leveling new characters through BFA, I would always be listening to podcasts or something. Even though this is, like, very calm and relaxing, I'm not doing that. I'm still very engaged in it.
Right.
Even though there's, quote-unquote, a lot of downtime in combat where I'm just using auto attacks or my wand, I'm not necessarily clicking abilities, I'm still, like, really paying attention to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, and again, I saw the clip. It was from a Q&A at BlizzCon, I think the year they announced Warlords of Draenor.
Oh, it's just the, you think you want it, but you don't?
Yeah.
The new president.
Is that who said that? I wasn't sure that was. Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, someone said, like, have you guys ever thought of making servers that are a snapshot of each expansion that existed? And he like, was very flat, like, no. Like how ridiculous.
Well,
why would you ask me that?
I kind of understand, because even at the time, I kind of thought the same thing. Like, why would I want to go back to that crappy
show?
Yeah, stuff?
And maybe that wasn't the right time. I think the 15-year mark is a good excuse to do this. It kind of gives it a little bit of a significance.
It helps a bit that BFA has kind of had its problems.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, BFA, I think, is ultimately a fine expansion.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, I played a lot of it, so I can't say much.
For our complaints of the leveling not feeling meaningful, the leveling content was good content. I think the mechanics are the kind of weakest. That's what I think it is, Mike. I think in the live game right now, the kind of the story, the setting, what's going on is pretty good, aside from that whole a little bit of a reliance on you being like the hero of the earth. But, you know, it's exciting stuff that's going on, so I can't fault it for that. But I think mechanically something is missing from the game that Classic really has. You know, the combat and the progression both feel a lot better.
I'm really interested to see what happens now. Because
they've been talking about a level squish. That keeps coming up.
The next expansion for regular World of Warcraft has to be, if not drastic, something close
to it.
Well,
and what I like is I think having Classic exist now gives them license to be more drastic in the live game. Because if anything goes too far afoul, you go, well, you can always go play Classic. You know, if you want the untouched pure World of Warcraft experience, that's what Classic's for. Meanwhile, we're going to be over here. We're going to squish the levels down to 60. We're going to completely change the skills, and we're going to get rid of the factions entirely. Like, do crazy stuff
nice.
Like that.
I'm real sick of the
factions. Go for it. You know,
right?
And you know, if you want world PvP, go play Classic. I think that makes a lot of sense.
So, you want to hear about some of the other interesting games I've been playing?
May as well.
So, man, I tell you what, a bunch of games suddenly came out. It feels like fall already.
It's starting. It's almost that time of year.
So one of the really interesting ones is Control.
I feel like this is going to be the sleeper hit of 2019.
So I'm not a big Remedy guy. I somehow never played Alan Wake.
I haven't either.
You played Quantum Break at least.
I played a lot of Quantum Break, and I stopped playing when I hit a glitch. Because I had gotten every collectible up to that point, and I just couldn't pick up one. And I got really mad, I just stopped playing.
The only Remedy game I played was Max Payne 1.
I played both.
Which is great.
Those are phenomenal games.
Yeah. I did not play Max Payne 2, The Fall of Max Payne. But, so I'm playing Control. It's really hitting the spot.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've seen, like, the videos, and it looks like Force Awakens with guns.
Force Unleashed. It's basically, yeah. That's how I describe
it. Force Awakens is a different thing.
It's Force Unleashed with guns, and that you have basically force power, specifically, like, the ability to pick up any object and throw it at people. And there's this really nice rhythm to the combat where your gun, your gun's like a magic gun. It can change into the other forms of a gun.
Right.
Which basically means you, like, pistol, shotgun, sniper kind of thing. But you don't have ammo. It's just when you, like, don't use the gun for a while, it starts reloading.
Okay, kind of like Doomfist.
Yes, and so that's kind of when, well, now you start throwing shit at people while you wait for that to happen. So again, it's this really nice flow to the combat. And then it's all framed in this kind of like, almost Twilight Zone-y, like, you know, paranormal thing.
Well, I hear a lot of Metroidvania comparisons starting around.
Yes, well, the level design. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, the world is very, like, you know, there's a parallel dimension, and that's why you can, you know, use force abilities, basically.
Cool, cool.
It's total schlock.
Right.
But I kind of love it.
Like in a B-movie kind of way?
Yes, it's like, oh, this magic carousel is going to give you the ability to dodge things for some reason. I'm like, okay.
All right, whatever you say, game.
Right. But yeah, it's very Metroidvania, and, like, you know, there's a kind of a big central place you're in, the Federal Bureau of Control.
Ooh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The FBC.
Yeah, the FBC. But, like, you know, there's some places you have to, like, get a key card to come back here later and stuff like that. It's also kind of Bioshocking that there's all the supplemental materials everywhere, or Deus Exy, you know.
A lot of audio logs. A lot of amateur podcasters.
Materials, yeah. Not so much audio logs, thankfully, but a lot of, like, a memo.
Okay.
A lot of memos. But the combat is very fun and satisfying.
It's something Remedy's been pretty good at, so yeah, that's good to hear.
So yeah, I've been really enjoying it. I've been into it.
Cool.
The other one is Astral Chain, the new Platinum.
Oh, game. You played that?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had that. How is it?
It seems really fun. I'm not super far into it.
What is it best compared to? Because it's Platinum. You know, the Bayonetta guys. Like, would you hold it up to Bayonetta or something else or?
Gosh, my first thought is maybe Metal Gear Rising.
Okay.
But it's not. Metal Gear Rising was pretty counter heavy. There's almost no countering in this. There's a little. The big hook of this one is that your character has this kind of demon connected to you through a chain.
Okay.
And you can kind of. The demon's mostly attacking on his own, but you can kind of, like, recall him and send him out. Mm-hmm. And you can move him around. And some of the interesting things you do are with that. So, like, if you move him so that he circles an enemy, so that the chain envelops that enemy, then they're tied in place for a bit. If an enemy is going to charge at you, you can actually move yourself and position the demon to, like, your side so that the enemy is going to kind of, like, hit the chain, and then he'll, like, slingshot off of it. So that's kind of...
Sounds wacky.
Yeah, it's really neat, though. So that's kind of the hook of it, is, like...
The hook.
Yeah, man, the chain.
Hey-o.
Yeah, you won't break the chain, but, I'm digging it so far. It is a bit anime.
I gathered from the trailers.
So yeah. I'm not sure how you would feel about that. Even like me,
it looks flashy.
It's very flashy. Like, the opening was really cool.
How's the pace of the game?
So far, a little heavy on dialogue. I'd rather be fighting a bit. Maybe that's going to slow down because they're introducing a lot of things.
Right.
Maybe that'll slow down a bit. But I think I'm into it. And I've liked quite a bit of Platinum games. Bayonetta 2. I actually liked Metal Gear Rising a lot.
You did. You really liked
it. I did. I was surprised. I liked Nier Automata quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Or Automata.
I go with Automata.
Yeah, that's
because it's an automaton.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. It looks very good. Like, the whole kind of Blade Runner / Akira vibe really works well for, like, making an action game look good on the Switch.
That's good.
Yeah, so I think it's a really cool Switch game.
Nice.
So I'm into it. Excited to play more of it. Having fun.
Good.
So many games.
So I started it today, that new Pokemon Masters game that came out.
Yeah, how's that?
You know, it's actually, I haven't hit the free-to-play wall yet. I'll be curious to see what that's like. Because it's doing that stupid free-to-play thing where I'm, like, getting a lot of items every time I win a battle. Yeah. I'm like, what do these do? But the gameplay, it's kind of like if Pokemon were a party-based RPG with an ATB bar.
Okay.
Oh, I have your attention now. Well, I see.
Kind of. I mean.
So here's how it works. Like, okay, yeah. You have the bar at the bottom. It's broken up into segments. And it starts in the middle at the beginning of the fight. And it's always slowly filling. And of the three Pokemon in your party, they each have their attack. And it'll take a certain number of those segments. Usually the more powerful attack, more segments. Now, the Pokemon have their weaknesses, kind of. They seem to have dumbed it down a bit. So, for example, one of the first fights, I'm fighting a Zubat. And my party is me with a Pikachu, Brock with Onix, and Misty with Starmie.
So you should destroy that Zubat.
Right. And I was thinking, okay, Pikachu's going to zap because of flying type. But they have the icon for it they're weak against. It's not weak against electric. It's weak against rock.
Oh.
Like, it's only weak against one thing.
Okay.
But they tell you what that is before the fight. So it's, I think, the hook of the game, ultimately. Because you're not collecting Pokemon. You're collecting trainers and their one Pokemon. So, I mean, you're collecting Pokemon. Yeah, see, but the trainer doesn't matter.
I mean, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, what do I like about Pokemon? And I'm like, maybe battling is one of the things I like least about Pokemon. Like, maybe it's way much more about like exploring a world and collecting Pokemon. Right.
So this is much more about the battles.
Right. So that's why I'm kind of concerned.
But like, you know, when you go into a fight, you'll see what the team you're going up against. And it's kind of up to you to be like, all right, how do I counter this team? Who do I have that I could counter with? And then they got like, you know, after there's like a countdown thing after every attack. You do a sync attack, which have these like kind of cool flashy animations and stuff. It's appealing so far. Like I said, I mean, we'll see how far I get.
A lot of those trainers are really cool characters. Is the bird trainer from Black and White in there?
I don't know. Like I said, I got Brock and Misty and
yeah, but like,
I encountered two other people who might be from something.
Where's the sky? She was a babe.
Oh, okay.
What's her name? Skyla or something? She wore like the blue jumpsuit.
I don't remember, Mike. I'll be honest. Apparently, she left quite an impression on you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I should go back to talk about something normal, like my bowel movements.
Yeah, yeah. Good, good. I played Tetris 99 last week and had a Fire Emblem. Did you do it?
No.
Oh, you should have done it. You get 100 points.
Is it done?
Yeah, I think it was just the weekend.
I blew it.
You blew it, because the Fire Emblem theme is very fun. It plays all the battle music and all this attack sound effects and everything. It's pretty good.
I did beat my second playthrough of Fire Emblem.
Hang on, before I'm done, I had a Tetris story I wasn't done telling.
Did you win?
Well, no.
Well, then what's not that good a story?
So you get points, like, no matter what.
Yeah.
And I was playing it the one day, and I had to go cook dinner, and my daughter Sophia was like, I want to play that game. I was about to be like, no, and I was like, yeah, go ahead and get some points for daddy. So she got me like 15 of the 100 points I needed.
How good is she at Tetris?
Very not good. Like, as long as you play like for a little bit, you get 10 points. She got like 1 point every time. You have to like die pretty much immediately to just get 1 point.
She's learning.
But yes, it was funny. But yes, please tell me about how Fire Emblem was the second time.
I think I liked the Golden Deer path even more than the Black Eagle path.
Interesting, because I feel like Black Eagle is probably the most popular one. Because it has a girl in it.
It's the one, yeah.
And then the other girl is a hot girl, too, so.
With Dorothea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was all about that Bernadette, though.
You were.
I'm a Bernie.
Bernie bro?
Bernie bro. Bernie bro.
Is that what it is?
I feel the burn.
Oh, God.
There's a fourth girl. All of them have four girls and four boys, right? Who's the fourth girl in Black Eagle? Am I crazy?
I don't know the Black Eagles.
Maybe I'm. But anyways, I like the Golden Deer quite a lot. It seemed like a more definitive story than the Black Eagle
That's interesting. Route,
I think.
Interesting.
Right, yeah.
Most likely, if and when I finish this game, I'll just kind of read about the other two plots.
That's what I did after I beat it this time. I'm like, what happened in the other one? I'm not going to beat it.
They're going to release.
Each one is 45 hours long.
They're going to release a third difficulty mode.
Yeah. So I played through this one in hard mode, but even still, because of the game plus.
I think Jeff nailed it, where like normal should have been easy and hard should have been normal.
Right. So, I mean, it was still fun, but I really enjoyed the game. It wasn't really until like hour like 85 where I was like, okay, I'm kind of almost done with this. And then I was able to beat it. I'm like, yeah, that was great.
Cool.
Sure did like Fire Emblem. I mean, 90 hours sunk into it, so hey.
So my kids are on a big Sonic the Hedgehog kick. Don't know where that came from. So
I was watching some Sonic cartoons with them, and I was watching. I gave your son a Sonic doll for his first birthday.
Sophia hijacked.
Yeah.
So tonight she wanted to play a bunch of Sonic games because Sonic is traditionally a very good game for like a kid or a little brother.
What tells is the ultimate like little brother.
Exactly.
Second player.
Exactly. But she wanted to play first one. She wanted to play tonight was Sonic Adventure.
Interesting.
Well, because. This is the first one she saw. Like, she saw the box art, you know? So I was like, okay, we'll do that one. Oh, that game's rough. That game's so rough.
No, it doesn't hold up. Yeah.
Like, we're doing the part. You know, it's the first level. You're on the beach. All right. All right. Look, sweetie, here comes a big whale. This was exciting, right? That's okay, cool. That first turn comes off. I hit the little speed pad. It glitched and just shot me off in the ocean right there. I was like, really, game? Really? We couldn't even get this, like, nailed down. Like, the big climax of the first level. All right, whatever. They're like, we want new Tails. All right, fine. We'll go do a level of Tails. Oof.
They were janky. Huh?
They were janky.
It really makes you appreciate just how well programmed the Mario 64 was, even at the time.
Yeah, yeah. But then, you know, we did some Sonic 3 and Knuckles, played a couple levels in that.
What are you playing all these on?
The 360.
Okay.
So I was playing the Dreamcast conversion to the GameCube, ported to the Xbox 360, emulated on Xbox One version of Sonic Adventure.
I can't believe
DX.
It glitched out.
Yeah, right? We saw it coming. But we played some Sonic 3. We played a couple levels there. And then we ended up in Sonic 2. And I do have to confess, Sonic 2 is the better game.
Yeah.
It's easier to see things in Sonic 2. I think Sonic 3, they try to go too far with the clutter.
I don't like Sonic 3's character model.
No, that never bothered me.
I'm not a giant fan of it. I'll tell you what. My favorite, maybe Sonic 2, but I like Sonic 1 a lot.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
When I get older.
But Chemical Plant Zone's the best zone in any Sonic game, so.
You might be right.
Yeah.
You might be right.
That's right. I'm right. But yeah, so and then we played some All-Stars Racing Transformed, and that game is fantastic.
You play the new Sonic Racing game?
I have no design. No Panzer Dragoon stage, no sail.
That's true.
Because that's the stage we raced, and it is glorious.
So do we want to talk about D23 a little bit here?
We don't have to go too in the weeds. New Mary Poppins ride sounds cool at Epcot.
Well, is it a ride?
They said attraction.
Right? So I'm a big fan of the whole Cherry Tree Lane, especially the Admiral's house next to it.
Yeah, and then you know they're going to shoot that camera.
So what I thought was interesting was the concept art was very clearly done at a time when they wanted to base it more off Mary Poppins Returns. But the way Chip Hick was talking, it almost made it sound like this was more OG Mary Poppins.
Yeah, because the concept art had the Lori lighting the lamps.
Right, you can even see the newer Mary Poppins in it and her blue dress.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. Whatever.
We'll see. So, there was such a big to-do about all the changes coming to Epcot in this.
I'm just shocked that Imagination didn't get anything announced for it.
Well, they didn't really announce an e-ticket for Epcot. Now, to be fair, they are building two of them right now.
Yeah, and I think that's
with
why.
With Guardians and Ratatouille. But I think everybody expected something more. And, what they basically showed off was some nice things. Like, they're building this kind of, viewing platform almost, / other things.
It's going to be the new event center.
Yeah, the new event center. This Moana kind of walkthrough water play attraction, which almost seems like an if they it's like the water fountains from Imagination as a whole thing.
Well, I like how at first we're like, this is gonna replace Imagination and probably use the ride tech from Pirates of the Caribbean in Shanghai. Yeah. This is gonna be, and I was like, oh no, we went way too far with that.
Yeah, we're just gonna walk around and look at water.
Yeah,
basically,
which would be fun,
which is fine. But yeah, so basically the big things are. I mean, so everybody thought Brazil was coming for sure, and then now you wonder if it is still coming and they just backed out of it because of all the. News.
Yes, to put it lightly.
Or if it's just not a thing. Because it almost felt like something was missing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, really, the biggest ride they announced was the Avengers ride for California Adventure.
Phase 2.
Right.
Which, to my eye, because the concept art showed
I still don't understand what that ride is.
So it showed people in exoskeletons with a jetpack shooting stuff. It almost made me think of the Hogwarts Escape.
I think it's
ride
vehicle
where it's you're on a floating arm.
Oh, you don't mean Hogwarts, you mean Forbidden Journey,
yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea what that could possibly be.
Yeah.
You start in a Quinjet and then you end up in a robot suit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that could be.
Could be cool, though. You know.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be, cool. That Spider-Man ride, I just feel like...
Well, it's not going to be as good as...
What's the problem?
Universal. So that is the problem.
Universal Spider-Man ride that they built in, 99? Well,
it's
the best ride ever.
If you don't, because they had to do something with Spider-Man. He's too big. He's Spider-Man.
Well, maybe now they wish they didn't because they don't even have him in the MCU,
we'll see what happens there.
Right. So it's kind of weird, but it the idea of just doing Midway Mania but with webs, I don't know. Although, I'm a big fan of industrial theming. I like the real industrial look of, the queue for that ride from the concept art. But we'll see. They didn't even say very much about the 50th anniversary to me.
No, they're keeping that close to the chest, I guess.
And part of it, the problem is, like, there are so many big things being built right now. The stuff in Epcot already, Tron, Galaxy's Edge just opened.
Today.
All right. But it's still like, what's next for Animal Kingdom? We don't really know.
Yeah, we thought we might. There's rumors of an e-ticket coming there. Right. I mean, they talked about the Zootopia land in Hong Kong.
And it seems
it's hard to think that doesn't find its way to Animal Kingdom at someday, some point. Maybe.
Right. But at the same time, like, Animal Kingdom's kind of in a good place right now.
Yeah, I mean, the only complaint you can have about Animal Kingdom right now is fix the Yeti. Like, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, Animal Kingdom might be the best park, actually.
It's kind of crazy how that happened,
but
right?
But I think Animal Kingdom is the best
park. That really kind of came out of nowhere.
In the world right now, to be completely honest.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it is. That clip they play of the music from Epcot Forever, I'm like, can this just be the permanent show?
Yeah, because like that's like the temporary one's like, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
I think when they showed the logo and it's like the old Epcot logo and then they showed all the old symbols, I think some people were expecting some kind of like throwback to old Epcot being announced, like we're bringing back the original Imagination Ride or something. So I think maybe that's where some of the letdown comes from.
Right. Sometimes they almost don't consider the optics of what they're showing.
Yeah.
Like on the first day of D23, like those posters are coming out, and there was like a Horizons poster was one of the first images that came out. I was like, oh, they're bringing back Horizons. Like, no, not gonna do that. But
what do you think about Future World being quote unquote no more?
I get it. I think the names are kind of weird. Like, I get it because you have World Showcase, so like you're carrying that, so it's like World Discovery, but like I think World of Discovery makes more sense grammatically.
It's
kind of
weird because it's still clearly split into two sections as a theme
park.
Yeah,
it's not four.
You know what I mean?
It's
not really four. Like, let's not kid ourselves. But I mean, I have no real problem with it.
No, I think it's fine. I think it conveys a clear theme to each section.
I think, and I'm okay with Spaceship Earth getting some upgrades. I know some people are kind of a little thrown off. I hope they're not actually going to change that much in the first half of the ride.
No, it's the ending that needs completely rehauled because they just got rid of it, basically.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll have to kind of wait and see a bit. It sounds like we're not going to get a celebrity narrator anymore. It's going to be more of a character narrator.
I guess that's fine. I mean, you know, no offense to Dame Judi Dench. And I understand the really old people, no offense, like their Walter Cronkite. Jeremy Irons is my spaceship personally.
Right, exactly. But maybe, like, you kind of get rid of some of that baggage by not making it, like, this really recognizable voice. Although I still think that the guy who's Loki would have been the perfect narrator.
Tom Hiddleston? Oh, that would have been incredible.
I think he was.
That would have been incredible.
He would have been the guy.
That would have been pretty good.
I think that would have been the guy.
Pretty
I just kind of think it's, like, that was part of my problem with the Judi Dench narration is that I feel like it wasn't quite as majestic.
Well, she's got that kind of whimsical, like, British nanny voice.
She almost sounds like your kindergarten teacher at some points. Like, thank the
Phoenicians. Yeah, she is talking down to you a little bit.
She's talking down to you a little bit.
A little patronizing.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And, like, there was, like, this gravitas of the Jeremy Irons version.
Like a grand and miraculous spaceship.
In this our spaceship Earth. I'll tell you what, you have to have the line, in this our spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
Or else I'm going to just walk out of the ride at that point. I don't care for my
talk. Which is really impressive, considering where you are, yes.
But I'll walk down.
Like, nope.
Nope. I'm out.
Yeah. Throw the papers in. Where'd you get papers?
I'm done, Jerry. I'm done.
So let's talk a little Star Wars at D23. What'd you think of that Rise of Skywalker teaser?
I liked it. This is probably a cynical part of me, but when I saw Rey with like the double, like the super lightsaber thing, a part of me was like, buy all our playsets and toys. Stacy's got a new hat.
Look, George Lucas made the Tauntauns and Ewoks for a reason. Okay, it's not out of character.
I recognize it's silly, but part of me is still like,
I
think it looks cool.
I am pumped for the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
That looks real, real good.
Mandalorian looks cool.
Here's what kills me. And Carl Weathers. He said this in an interview on the Star Wars show. He's like, it looks like a $250 million budget movie. It doesn't look like a TV show. Like, if you told me, like, this is a trailer for the new Star Wars movie, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, it looks great.
Oh, gosh.
Also, it's not IG-88, it's IG-11.
Oh, it's not IG-88.
Yeah, it's IG-11, and it's voiced by, I always screw up his name, Taika Waititi.
The guy who directed Thor.
Yeah, he directed an episode of the show, but he's also IG-11.
That's awesome.
And that's rad.
That's super good.
That's super rad.
So here, going back a little bit, here's my one thing about the Episode 9 trailer. They're really trying to sell me on the whole, like, finality of it.
Oh, sure.
I'm like,
Well, because there ain't going to be a Star Wars movie for about 5 years. So they want you to go see this one.
And I'm like, okay, there's going to be so much Star Wars stuff. And like in 5 years, it'll be, even if it's not like, quote unquote, episode 10. I'll tell you what.
Well, we know Rian Johnson's making his trilogy.
Right, exactly. We know the Game of Thrones guys are doing something. Part of the problem was that I kind of already emotionally believed it with episode 3. That this would be the last Star Wars movie I was going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually felt that. And I actually had a strong emotional reaction because of that towards the end of that movie.
Like, we all told ourselves we really liked episode 3.
Right, but, like, even, like, just, like, I remember, like, when, like, towards the end of that movie, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is the last time I'm going to see a Star Wars movie. And, like, it feels silly now. It's kind of one of those, as George W. Bush said, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, you can't get fooled again.
I mean, what they're selling me on in this one,
I mean, I'm looking forward to
it. It is the end of the Skywalker saga. Yes, there will be more Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like even that is, like, reaching.
Yeah, we'll see.
But even at this point, like...
But how pumped are you for the Obi-Wan series?
That's pretty cool.
A lot of people are hoping after the rumored movie kind of got canned in the perceived failures of Solo. I was like, we'll make it a TV show.
I'm still mad at people for not accepting Solo.
Solo was great.
Solo was great.
Everyone, I'm glad you're with me on that one, at least.
I like Solo quite a bit. Episode 8 is so weird for me because I think it's okay, and that's almost more painful to me than
you fall in the middle, because like you're like, I didn't hate it, but you people who like want to burn it to the ground need to quit.
Exactly. So I'm like, there's people like want to burn it ground. I'm like, cool down. There's people like, it's the best Star Wars movie ever. I'm like, okay, shut up.
It lies in the middle. It's fine.
The only one that I've hated of the new ones was Rogue One. I did not like Rogue One. Like, and you know that.
I really did not like Rogue One. I mean, I'm pumped for the Cassian series. Because we're going to get that too.
Yeah, sure.
I kind of like now that we have this slate of Star Wars TV series that are going to stream on Disney+. Meanwhile, Disney Plus is going to be like the best $7 a month you could ever spend ever. You need to move. Moving the camera doesn't count.
What? Oh, from a character?
Yeah,
World of Warcraft?
Like, yeah, there you go. There,
a little jumpy jumping.
Yeah. Now you're no longer AFK.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I don't want you to get DC'd.
Of course.
But yeah.
When does it actually launch?
November.
Rocketeer day one. So they released that awesome montage.
Great montage. I love a good montage. No Rocketeer in that montage.
There was a part where they showed a bunch of flying characters, and I was like, here's where they're going to show the Rocketeer.
Yeah,
and then when they did it.
That was the place.
And then when they did it, I got
But they did
sad.
Have a Tron Legacy
shot.
They
had a lot of
there.
Tron stuff. They're so weird with Tron. Because for a
bit, sometimes they're like, yes, we made Tron. We embrace it wholeheartedly. And sometimes they're like, we don't talk about Tron.
It's like, oh, Tron, we're going to talk about that. Our new biggest ride in the Magic Kingdom is going to be based on Tron.
Yeah, it's like, pick a lane, Disney.
It's like, look, I think they're still trying to figure out what they need to do with Tron, because they know there's something there.
Yeah.
But that was the other weird one, is the people who are like, Tron Legacy wasn't that good. We liked the soundtrack only. I'm like, Tron Legacy was great
all around.
Except for maybe Tron himself being kind of like, just like a bad guy with not a very satisfying arc.
He fights for the user.
No, remember he turned into the bad guy in Tron.
Yeah, but then at the end he redeemed himself and said, I fight for the user and saved him.
Yeah, but there wasn't quite satisfying.
Jeff Bridges saw him and went, Tron.
Yeah, he did. But very minor way. I liked Tron Legacy quite a lot.
Yeah, I was like, he looks like a computer. Like, they're in a computer. It's okay.
I actually thought that CG was better than, like, Tarkin and Rogue One.
Yeah.
To go back to Rogue
also
One.
Also true.
An awful movie. I did. It's good when your movie jumps time and location 7 times in the first 10 minutes. That's good. It's real engaging. I'm into it.
To follow. Also,
that's my one complaint. That's my, not complaint, one worry with The Mandalorian. It's going to be a little too dark and gritty. I'm not really into that dark and gritty Star Wars stuff.
It depends how it's handled. I think it could be very cool. I like what I see of it.
I don't
so
want
far.
It to be Rogue One where that character is getting his own show, like murders a person in the first 5 minutes.
This
guy. He's a murderer.
He did what he had to do, Mike.
Did he? Because that guy...
For the good of the rebellion.
Did he? Because that guy was helping the rebellion.
Yeah, but he was going to like give him away or something.
Oh, he was just saying he was scared.
Yeah. Got no place for cowards in the rebellion, Mike.
Well, I think I like the rebellion more when it was just like, yay, good guys.
Mike, Shades of Grey.
No. See, yeah, this is like what I'm talking about. Yeah, Shades of Grey. You can shade your grey all the way to a disappointing Game of Thrones finale.
There it is. You didn't even watch Game of Thrones.
No, but I like, but I'm not above playing dirty tricks.
Your favorite reference is memes.
It is. According to the internet, people did not like that ending.
Like, what has the internet ever been right about anything?
The internet says Galaxy's Edge is a failure.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's what, like 4 hour lines for Smuggler's Run today?
I saw a story what somebody was like,
yeah,
the second that the line for Avatar was bigger than Smuggler's Run, some website posted this story about it. Like, oh, rite of passage line longer than Smuggler's Run. It's like there's so many factors.
Yeah, the second most popular ride is just as long a line. What do you know? It would have been a good day to go to the Magic Kingdom today.
Yeah, right.
I was looking at the wait times. Like Mine Train had like a 10-minute wait. I've never seen that before.
Man.
Right?
I like that. I like Mine Train. That's a Mikey-sized coaster right there.
Uh-huh.
All right. I think that's a podcast.
Yeah, let's wrap it up and get out of here. Wow, I honestly didn't think we'd get a long show tonight. Here we are, 45 minutes.
Plenty to talk about.
Indeed.
All right, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and all the places where podcasts are. Be sure to check out the new episode of 90s Disney coming out on September 1st, all about the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Great stuff, including the interview with the director.
Writer. Tab Murphy.
Look, I've had a few beers. I know people would never have guessed that listening to this show.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah.
Shit for brains.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.